In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As you know, that today is a very well-known Sunday. It's called Thomas Sunday, where Thomas doubted the resurrection of the Lord, and that's why the whole term of doubting Thomas is used. And today we're going to talk about faith and belief and doubting, and what does it take in order to believe. And if you look carefully at the screen, it says, believing is seeing, versus the opposite. We're used to this statement that seeing is believing. Which one is true? Do I have to see in order to believe? Or what we're talking about today, that it's actually the opposite, that you have to believe first in order to see. Let's examine that. Let me give you a couple of examples of people who saw a lot of miracles but didn't believe. For example, in the Old Testament, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he is the one who have seen more miracles from God than anyone in the world. 10 plagues, one after the other. God speaks to him. God turns the river into blood. God brings just like very serious plagues into the country and takes it away. And every single time he says, okay, that's it. I believe. That's the last time. I promise. Did he really believe? He saw the Red Sea splitting in front of him. He crossed the Red Sea, walked on it. Did he believe? Mm-mm. He didn't believe. Another example. Judas. Not only that Judas saw a lot of miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself performed miracles because Jesus gave them the authority to perform miracles. Judas, you better believe that Judas cast out demons and he healed people by anointing them by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Did he believe? I don't think so. He wouldn't have done what he did. It wasn't only the love of money, but he really didn't believe. How about the people who were in the time of Christ, who saw him, saw his miracles, eat and ate the fish and the bread that he made out of nothing? You know the 5,000 men in the middle of the wilderness that Jesus fed? Men plus women and children, we're talking about 20,000 people. Do you know how much food it takes to feed 20,000 people in the desert? Needs trucks and trucks of loads of food. They didn't see any of this. Jesus created them out of nothing. Did they believe? Where were the 20,000 people during the crucifixion? Where were they? Did they believe? They didn't believe. Not necessarily that seeing is believing. As we say, it's actually the opposite. More than that, forget about the people in the times of Christ. How about the people here in this world now? Who didn't experience miracles and miracles from God? Every time we see things like this, say, Amen, Lord. You know, you're great. I can never doubt you anymore. I've seen so many miracles in my life. Where are the people now? I don't know. They're not here. Because they have seen the miracle. But maybe they haven't seen the Lord himself. Jesus actually said that. He said that in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. When they died, and then the rich man is in hell, he's having a hard time, so he asked Father Abraham to send some people to his brothers so they don't come to this very bad place. So Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You want to help your brothers? They have Moses and the prophets. What's Moses and the prophets? Moses, the 5 books of Moses and the books of the prophets, meaning they have the Bible. They have the Old Testament. They have the Word of God. Let them hear it. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And in other translation, they will believe. But he said to him, Father Abraham told him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded the one rise from the dead. Have you seen people rising from the dead? I don't know if you know that or not, but it's something very common. There's a lot of people in this world. They died and they came back to life again. Some of them wrote books. I've seen one of them. I talked to one of them. How did this change his family? Not much. He was a change. Of course, he better be changed after that. I've seen one. I talked to someone, went to Hades, left the earth, saw Christ, was announced dead in a hospital in Florida, and came back to life. He was changed. How about his family? How about the people around him? Not much. So, not necessarily that seeing is believing. Why? What is the reason? The reason, as I said, that it is because it's impersonal. Maybe they saw the miracle. Okay? But it's easy to see a miracle and forget it afterwards. Maybe it touched their mind, but it didn't touch their heart. They saw the miracle, but they didn't see the Lord, the performer of the miracle himself. That's why a miracle happened. Very easily we forget. Go on in our life. Please try to remember what God did in your life. Hardly remember these things. Think about it. What are the things that you remember most in your life? The good stuff, the miracles, or the bad, painful stuff? We tend to forget these. And as I said, especially when it's impersonal. Who cares about someone is rising from the dead? Someone is saved from a car accident. God saved me from something. You know what? I believe at the moment. But later on, I would doubt. And I say, maybe it was my luck. Maybe it was a coincidence. Who knows? The first problem that I get after the miracle, I keep doubting. Was it really God or not? That's why the New Testament focuses so much on faith and believing. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came on earth. Not to perform miracles, and you see the miracles, but you see Him personally. And you touch Him. And you connect with Him. And you build a relationship with Him that makes you believe in Him, not believe in the miracles that He performed. And when you believe Him, when you trust Him, that's it. You're good to go. And you know what? When you believe God, and when you believe in Him, you will start to see God's hands in everything. When you trust Him, you see something going bad, you say, this is God's hands. It's for the good. And we know that all things work for the good for those who love God. I know this is from God. Everything will just turn to be okay. I know God. God will never leave me alone. He never left me before. Why? Because I know Him. I'm not talking about the miracles He did with me. I'm talking about Him as a person. I know Him. I trust Him. The man is good. He is trustworthy. That's why Jesus came in the form of a man. Why? To know Him. To see Him. To connect with Him. To believe Him. That He's real. He is a person. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you see it a lot, but I see it a lot. People coming, maybe some people coming to me, to you, and telling you, you can't believe the miracles that happened to me. What happened to you? And they tell you the story. There is nothing amazing in it. There is, you know, just God healed the pet when they didn't have money to, you know, to take it to the doctor or something. It's not a big deal. What's that? Or God saved me from a speeding ticket or something. It's not a big deal. But for me, it's a big deal. I know it's God. And I know His hands. And I know His touch. It is God's touch. I know that. For me, it's a big deal. Because when I know Him personally, I can see His touch and say, this is the hand of my Lord. On the other hand, people who don't believe in God. I don't know all the people who don't believe in God. I don't know all the atheists in the world. But one thing I know, that so many people I saw who didn't believe in God, they didn't believe in God because they were hurt from God. Something bad happened to them and they can't trust Him anymore. They don't know Him. They never knew Him as a person. Because they were hurt, they were never connected with Him again. Maybe connected on a superficial level, so they just avoid His plagues, but not necessarily connecting with Him as a person-to-person relationship. That's why they tell you, you know what, if God is there, if God exists, let Him do this. Let Him change that in my life. Let Him do something. Let Him show me. Let me see. And when I see, I will believe. Do you think that God is not working in their lives? I promise you, God is working in their lives more than any one of us. But they cannot see it because they don't believe Him. They don't trust Him. They don't have the relationship with Him. That is the real problem. It's not like God is silent or not doing anything in their lives. God is doing a lot in their lives. Just don't. They can't see it. They can't see it. And then all what they tell you, let God do this. And if God exists, let Him answer this question. Why there is evil in the world? I just want to know this question. Let Him just answer this question for me, and then I will trust Him. You know what their problem is? They want to know God by their mind. But hey, God is not an idea. God is a person. They want to know God as an idea, as a philosophy, as an answer, as a miracle, as a show, but not as a person. And God is a person. And if you want to know Him, you want to know Him as a person, not as an idea. If you want to believe Him, if you want to trust Him as a person, dealing with Him one-on-one. That's the knowledge. That's the belief. And you know what? These same, very same people, when they get to know God and connect to Him one-on-one, and when they get to know the Lord Jesus as the Savior, as the God incarnate for them, as the lover of their soul, you tell them, are you still looking for an answer? Tell you, no, I don't care about answers. I trust Him. Nothing changed in your life. It's okay. I'm fine with it. I just trust Him. Everything should be, He knows what He's doing. But things are still bad. I don't care. I'm just comfortable that He loves me and He cares for me. Even when things go bad, it will turn to be good in the end. Why? Because they build that personal one-on-one relationship with Him. Question is this against what Jesus did with Thomas today? Because Jesus told Thomas, you don't believe? Come, put your fingers here in the print nail and put your hand here in my side so you would believe. It's not actually against what Jesus did with Thomas. And what happened is, Thomas actually was one of the most loyal disciples. In the story of Lazarus, Jesus had to go to Judea from Galilee. Jesus left Judea because the Jews wanted to kill Him. When He was going to Judea, the disciples told Him, Master, they want to kill you, and you're going to Judea? He said, I have to go. Lazarus is sick. I have to go. And they kept just discussing what they're going to do. And Thomas stood up and said, even if I die with Him, I am going. And he was willing to die for God. He was courageous. He just had questions. He wanted to know. He didn't have disbelief, but he wanted to know the Lord. Not necessarily that he wanted to see by his eye and by his mind. He wanted to touch Him. He wanted to have the same interaction the disciples had. That's what the gospel said today. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus, when He appeared to the 12 or to the disciples, He wasn't with them. He came a week after. The other disciples therefore said to Him, we have seen the Lord. So He said to them, unless I see in His hands the prints of the nail, and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. So after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hands here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Now I have a question for you. Did Thomas see the prints? Did he really put his finger in his hands? If you read quick, carefully. Did he really do it? No. He actually was so embarrassed. It was enough for him to hear the voice of the Lord. That's why in the end he said, "My Lord and my God, I know you. This is your voice. I have an experience with you. I don't want to see anything. It's just enough for me to hear your voice. That's good enough for me. I'm sorry. Just wanted to hear your voice. Wanted to see you. I don't want to put my hands or my finger or anything like this. I want to, because I know you, I wanted just to touch you." It's a personalized faith. My Lord and my God. I know him. Touched him. And Jesus wanted actually to raise his faith even to a higher level and to give us a lesson. That's why he told him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Why did he say that to him? Even Thomas didn't have any bad intention. He really wanted to see the Lord. He said, "You should have believed because I told you, on the third day, I will rise again. You should have believed that. Because you know me and because you trust me." Do you have hard time believing, trusting? You want to see a miracle in your life? I have news for you. The miracle might be happening already, but you are not seeing it because you're lacking the personal relationship. You can't trust the man without knowing him first, without knowing him person to person. I've never seen anyone have faith or believe without having a personal relationship, connection with the Lord Jesus himself. That's why he came in the form of a man, to connect, to build, to know him as a person. And when you know him as a person, when you deal with him as a person, you will start to see. Believing must come first, and seeing will come afterwards. And if you're still doubting after you know him, he's going to appear to you like Thomas and tell you, "Do you have a problem? Come, I'll show you. This is me. Are you wondering why these things are happening? It's me." Then you're going to say, "My Lord and my God, I trust you. Do whatever you want to do." A lot of times, in the problems, in the trials, all what I want to do is get it solved, get it over with. I want to see the miracle. And God says, "I want you to see me. I don't want you to see the miracles, because you will never believe because of the miracle. I promise you, you're going to forget the miracle very soon. But if you see me, if I touch your life, that's it forever. And you're going to see everything differently from now on." If you have a problem during hard time, trust in God. You may have not known him personally. Because sometimes we go to church. You know, that happened with the disciples. Thomas actually was very good at this. Jesus, when he was talking to the disciples before he was going to the crucifixion, he said, "Okay, now you know that I'm leaving and you know the way." What did the disciples do? "Yes, sir." Of course, none of them knew anything about anything. Then Thomas said, "Hey, wait a minute. No, we don't know where you're going." And then he answered the famous word, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas asked, "What is this? Show me. Tell me." I want to know. I'm just here in the church to nod and say, everything is good, everything is perfect. No, when I know Him as a person, ask Him, Lord, increase my faith. Why this is happening? I know You, and I trust You, but show me. Show me Your hands. I don't even want You to tell me why, but show me that Your hand's in it. Once I see Your hands and I hear Your voice, I will tell You, my Lord and my God, and I don't want anything more than this. You can never trust anyone that you don't know. Can you? That's why we need to really know Him in order to trust Him and have and see His miracles and His hands in everything. Do you think Thomas believed or didn't believe? Because I want to tell you something. After the resurrection, Jesus appeared only to the believers. He didn't appear to the scribes and Pharisees. He didn't appear to the entire world. He didn't appear to the 20,000 people. Why? Why don't you appear to them so they would believe? Because they just killed You, and when they see You alive, they will believe. He said, no, I promise you, they won't believe. But those who believe Me, they will be able to see Me after the resurrection. Thomas actually believed. That's why Jesus appeared to him and showed him more and more. He had this touch, this personal relationship. And if you have this personal relationship, if you work on it, He will strengthen your faith when you need it. Remember the two disciples of Emmaus when they were going and Jesus appeared to them and they didn't recognize Him. Once He broke the bread, their eyes were opened. They saw Him. It is the Lord. And the disciples, when they saw Him after the resurrection, didn't know it was dark. Said, it's the Lord. We know Him. It's His touch. I know His voice. I know His touch. I know what He usually does in these situations. Tell Him that I want to know You and I want to trust You. Don't wait for a miracle, but work in a personal relationship. Experience Him in order to understand Him and start understand His work. St. Peter said that in his epistle. He said, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, even though you didn't see, you love. Though now you don't see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. After you experience the Lord personally, and after you experience the joy in the relationship, if the entire world would stand before you and tell you God does not exist, you tell them absolutely not, you have no idea. I have seen Him personally. I have experienced Him personally. You know nothing. I know. If the entire world would come in front of me and tell me that, I don't care. I've seen Him. He touched my life. He showed me things. I had experiences. I know better than things like this. During the Holy 50 and after the resurrection, actually the church focuses so much on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. All the Gospels are about Jesus is the light of the world. He is the bread of life. He is the way, the truth, the life. Knowing Him. It's as if Jesus rose from the dead and we are like the disciples and we're spending time with the bridegroom. We're spending time with Him. We're getting to know Him on a clearer vision, more and more, getting closer and closer, getting one experience more than the other. That's why we don't fast during Holy 50, because Jesus said, if the bridegroom is with them, they don't fast. We have Him. Why do we fast? We fast in order to lay aside everything so we can reach Him. He's with us. Let's enjoy Him. Let's encounter Him. Let's work on this personal relationship with Him during this time. I hope that all of us would become actually like Thomas. I'm not leaving church today unless I touch You, unless I see You. Not in an unbelieving way. I know You're there. And I don't trust your existence and your love or anything. I just want your touch. I just want your voice. I want to tell you my Lord and my God before I leave. I won't leave prayer before I touch the Lord Jesus. I would never pick up the Bible and leave it without being touched by the Lord, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. One thing, that's not an advertising or anything, but this is the book club that we did during Holy Week. It's called Jesus, A Dialogue with the Savior. It's an amazing book. If you got it and you were bored in the first couple of chapters, please keep going. Or if you never got it, try to get a copy before they're gone. This book talks about one thing, Jesus, and your relationship with Him, and touching Him, and experiencing Him as a person. That's how we live that resurrection. And that's what you need in your doubts. In your doubts, you don't need miracles. You don't need to see things. You need to see the face of the Lord Jesus and encounter Him. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.